This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
About two days ago, I had one of those experiences at home where it forces you to come to a standstill, forces you to reevaluate a little bit what you're doing, and forces you to think about what you're preaching and just to evaluate that and think, oh, am I living what I'm preaching? And I've got a little six-year-old turning seven very soon in June, in actual fact, but she's actually more like 16. And so she's wanting to show me something. She's wanting she's lying on the couch in the, I don't think her mom was there, mom was somewhere else, but she's there on the couch and she's wanting to show me something acrobatic that I need to participate in. And then, yes, no, you weren't there. And then she's like, and she's speaking to me, she's wanting to show me something. And then after a minute she says, Dad, put your phone in your pocket, otherwise you won't look at me. Yes, indeed. Dad, put your phone in your pocket, otherwise you won't look at me. And I realized again, you know, that phone is a blessing. It connects me. On Monday evening, I had a Skype call with Rick Russo. Some of you guys might remember him still. He was foundational in releasing such a lot of mercy into our Shofar family 4 or 5 years ago at Convergence. He spoke to us. A lot of our NGOs were born out of things that he shared with us. It's probably longer than 5 years ago. And so via my phone, I Skype with him. And so my phone connected me to this guy that's a continent away from me. You know, that's a wonderful thing. Connected me. And yet at the same time, this very same instrument that can connect me across continents can also create a continent's distance between me and somebody else living in the same house. Why? Because of the misuse of the thing's purpose. Purpose is everything, isn't it? It's nothing innately evil about the phone, but the way I use it determines whether it actually is a blessing or whether it's something that brings destruction. And that boils down to purpose. And so last week and for the next couple of weeks, except this one coming, we're going to speak to us a little bit about purpose and why purpose is so important and why if we don't understand our purpose, we can very easily get into a situation where we take good stuff that God has given us and we either misuse it or we abuse it. And the story that we're using to sort of unpack this a little bit is found in Luke 8 verse 22. And I'm going to do a lot of recapping today and fill in some blanks that I didn't touch on last week. But the story basically is about this. Jesus gets into this boat with his disciples, 12 men, 12 ordinary men. They get into this boat with Jesus, and then Jesus gives them an instruction. Jesus says to them, let us go over, let us cross over, let us move from where we are to where we need to be, to where I need you to go. And then as they're going there, they are confronted by this massive storm. This storm that gets experienced fishermen fearing for their lives. These guys knew that lake. They were fishing on that lake since they were boys, and yet the magnitude and the ferocity of that storm caused them to be filled with so much dread that they thought that they were dying. Of course, they had Jesus with them. Jesus calms the storm, and they get to the other side, and then they get to this young boy, this young man that was so tormented, so broken on the inside that he was just torn apart, literally was tearing himself apart, was a danger to himself and to other people until he met Jesus. And Jesus changes his life, leaves him behind as an evangelist that transforms that community. And there's so much in this story that I believe is crucial for us to understand. And we're speaking to one another about what has God called us to do. As there is a purpose for my phone, as there is a purpose for my vehicle, as there is a purpose for my gifts and my talents, and as there's a purpose for everything, what is the purpose for my life? And the thing that we are speaking to us about is the fact that if I'm not intentional, and we heard it this morning, the words coming out, even the offering, if I am not intentional about my purpose, if I'm not intentional and focused about pursuing my purpose and walking in my purpose, other things will determine my purpose for me. There's so much flooding my phone. So many emails coming in, so many WhatsApps coming in, so many notifications coming through there. There's such a lot of demand coming through that thing. And I can allow my phone to begin to define how I live, how I engage with the people around me. Or I can live with a greater sense of purpose and a greater sense of urgency and not allow external things to work in on my life. But unless I'm focused and unless I bring the balance back, because all of us start out very often very focused. And you know, I think most people with the best of intentions, if they buy the phone, and phones are even sold with this thing about, you know, it's connecting you to the world. You know, have your best life now via this phone. And the vehicles are sold with selling to us intimate family times if you just drive this car. And, you know, it sells so much that our hearts long for. Nobody buys a phone thinking that one day I will destroy my marriage through my porn addiction on this phone. Nobody buys a car thinking that one day I'm going to kill people by driving too fast. Nobody does that. Everybody has the best intentions at heart, but slowly but surely we get bumped off course. We get out of alignment. And I'm trusting God that through this series we'll be brought back into alignment with God's purpose. And so we spoke about the fact that the disciples, their purpose was wrapped up in how they were spending their time. Their purpose was wrapped up in where they found themselves and who were with them and what was in their hands and what brings a change. And those are the elements we're wanting to speak to. And I'm going to highlight the first two, passion, priority, and place. I'm going to highlight that for us again. But first, just to touch again on the purpose. For the disciples, on that very particular day, they received a specific instruction. Their instruction was, let us go over to the other side. That was their instruction on the day. Their purpose in that moment was, go over. Take the oars and start rowing. That was their purpose for that day. It was their instruction for that day. In a sense, it was almost on their to-do list for their day. Jesus said, I'm giving you this instruction, and I'm wanting you to go. I'm wanting you to go over to the other side. And that is incredibly important, and I trust God that we are living in that space as well. That you now understand that you are in a space where you are being obedient to God. But you know what? Very often, we want instructions like this from God. We want an instruction that speaks into our hearts when we get out of bed in the morning or we're heading to work. And we want to know from God, God, where do I need to go? God, what do I need to do? And often God would speak to us like that. But very often, most of the time, we rarely get specific instructions like that minute by minute. Am I right? It is rare. It really is rare that minute by minute, hour by hour, you get very specific instructions from God. Sometimes that happens, and I think very often it happens without us even knowing about it. We're going through an exercise at home with Kate again where, you know, we've drawn this heart on this big piece of paper, and we're chatting with her about kids in her class that, you know, for some other reason, not behaving, and we like, why are you in the class with them, Kate? Why do you know this? And we put those names in that heart. And we pray that God would envelop them with his love. Why is that name popping up into your head right now? Why are you thinking of that person? It's the Holy Spirit putting that person on your heart. Sometimes we just think of someone. We think we're just thinking of someone, but actually thinking of someone because the Holy Spirit is putting the thought to think about someone in our minds. And if we are aware of that, we can act on that. But it is rare to be guided like Holy Spirit GPS every day. Mostly, what I've discovered is that we need to take the specific instructions of our lives, and if we don't get so obsessed about what do I need to do in this moment, but submit that to the bigger purpose of our lives, the more specific instructions flow a lot easier. And so the more specific or overriding general instruction in this moment was the one found in Mark 3, verse 14 to 15. Allow me to backtrack a little bit for us. But Jesus speaks to his disciples, or he calls his disciples, and Mark there says, and it's fascinating that Mark would highlight this. You know, it's just so amazing to see how the Holy Spirit used the biblical authors. And Mark was a go-getter, right? Everything happens fast in Mark. There's a whole lot of suddenness in there. And immediately Jesus did this, and all of a sudden this happened. So Mark is like an action-packed book. He got a lot of his information from Peter, of course, and there was Peter. You know, Peter just, he did before he thought anything. But it is fascinating that Mark even makes sure that we understand that when Jesus called the 12, he says he called them so that they might be with him. And he might send them out to preach and have authority to cast out demons. So firstly, their call, their alignment was, be with me. Be with me, come to me, spend time with me and out of that, the doing happened. Now, mostly in our lives, we see the two in conflict with one another, but they're not in conflict. The being and the doing, they're simply two sides of the same coin. A living relationship with Jesus always involves being with Jesus and doing. Always. It's never one or the other. You know, and sometimes God needs to bring balance for us as a shofar church family. We believe that God over this last little while brought a lot of balance back to us. Where we were bumped into doing, and that created a lot of energy, that created a lot of focus for us, and we did incredible things, God-given things, God-inspired things, but we often didn't slow down enough to just be with God. And in the process, we often didn't slow down enough to just be with one another also. That everything was attached to a purpose and to a goal, and that is important, but it's not the first place to start. The first place to start is to be, okay? And so my continual appeal to us would be this, to embrace every opportunity to be with Jesus. Embrace every opportunity to spend time with Him, and out of that flows the doing of our lives. In this particular case, we see that the overarching purpose for the disciples, the thing that drove them, the thing that motivated them, the thing that consumed them, the thing that gave purpose and direction to their lives, wasn't to try and figure out day by day, okay, what must I do today? The overriding thing, the thing that they said yes to right at the beginning was, we just want to be with Jesus. Because we know that if we are with Jesus, we will be able to become like Jesus. And that was the focus of a disciple. A disciple in the biblical context, the word metetes refers to someone that learns and someone that does, someone that becomes. It's not just in our context, in the Western context, mostly it refers to us learning from someone. But in the biblical context, discipleship always meant, I want to learn what you know and I want to become who you are. So that's why they hang around Jesus. They didn't just talk about Jesus. They didn't just sing about Jesus. They didn't just do research on Jesus. They wanted to be with Jesus. And because they said yes to being with Jesus, the other instructions flowed easily. Because they weren't focused so much on, let me figure out what I need to do today. Let me figure out what the exact thing is that, no, I've said yes to following Jesus. I said yes to being with Jesus. And because of that, the specific purpose became easily. And I want to speak to some of us that are trapped in that spiral of confusion that Tian spoke about this morning. And I believe God is wanting to bring simplification into your life and deliver you from an obsession with the nitty-gritty details of your life. That's breaking your brain. I spoke to a friend last night and I said, don't go there. He's trying to hyper-analyze everything. I said, don't go there. You're going to drive yourself insane. You're going to drive yourself outside of your mind. You're going to lose your mind trying to figure out the nitty-gritty details and trying to control it. Get back to, what is the bigger thing God is saying to you? Say yes to the bigger thing. If we say yes to the bigger thing, the smaller things fall into place. So our specific goals are governed by the overarching purpose of our lives. Our specific goals. Because the disciples, if on that day, Jesus was going to Martha and Mary's house, and the disciples decided, guess what? We're going to get into the boat and we're going to row over to the other side. They would have missed the point. Why? Because they weren't with Jesus. So it's never just about the instruction. It is about, is what I'm doing taking me closer to Jesus? As Stephen Covey used to say about the difference between efficiency and effectiveness. And sometimes we focus so much on just being efficient, just doing the right thing. Just getting to a place where, you know, am I doing things in the right way? But there's so much more. It's one thing climbing the ladder, but what if you're climbing the ladder and the ladder is up against the wrong wall? Then you're still missing the point. You were good at climbing the ladder, but it was up against the wrong wall. And sometimes we're good, we're diligent, we can do this thing. We can do church, we can do all the right things, but am I doing it for the right reason? Am I submitting to the right purpose of God? And I believe that God is calling us to submit everything that we do into this one thing. I want to be with Christ. I'm going to cut things out that take me away from Christ. You know, last night I was finished preparing for the sermon. I had some time to pray. And then I was tempted to go and watch the rugby, you know, at 11 o'clock at night. And I had to make a choice, you know, spending time with God, praying for the service, watching the rugby. I must say, I took a peek. And then the spirit of conviction came upon me and I stopped. And I don't know whether it was the Holy Spirit or me just sensing that we were going to lose, but I stopped. And I'm glad that I did. And this morning I read in the paper and like, yes, like it. I'm glad I submitted to a bigger purpose than just watching rugby. There is a purpose to which God calls us. There's a purpose that goes beyond what's going to happen this morning. What's going to happen when I get together for small group? What's the thing that I need to do? And our purpose that God has called us to, even as a church family, and quickly just want to remind you again, for us, why we are here, why this church family that Jimmy spoke about was birth, was we want to reach nations and generations through discipleship, leadership development, and church planting. That means everything that we do, every activity is geared towards creating opportunities for people to be with Jesus, to have an encounter with Christ, to become a disciple of Christ, and to make other disciples. That's why we do what we do. If we don't have that as our focus, then we're just keeping people busy. We had a workshop the other day with John Andrews, and he asked us this question. He says, are we as church leaders just keeping people busy, or are we making disciples? And so our purpose statement is challenging me to evaluate, why are we doing what we're doing? Are we just going through the motions? Are we just singing our songs? Are we just preaching the word? Are we just listening to the word? Are we just doing small group? Are we just doing all of those things because that's the church thing to do? That's the shofar thing to do? Or are we doing it because we are wanting to be with Jesus and we are wanting to become more like Jesus? That's what drives us. That's why we do a morning with the prophets. That's why we do the band coming. Why? Because we believe opportunities can be created for us to encounter Christ, to become more like him, and to express him to those around us. And of course, that wasn't a new idea. Jesus spoke about this. Matthew 28, 19 to 20. Jesus said, go therefore and make disciples of all nations. Go therefore. Go. Debbie, I thought about putting Debbie on the spot, but she had an amazing experience this week just about how the Lord just used her to engage with somebody that was different to her. And yet there was, Debbie, can I put you on the spot? Can you share what you shared with me via email? I'm going to put you on the spot. It's so unfair. How can you say no to me now? Just like, no, Pastor, I won't. Just like.
I think after last Sunday's message. Yeah, we were just encouraged to pray about what God wants us to do every day. And so I remember doing that on Monday. But then Tuesday, I don't think I remember to do that. But when I went to Pick and Pay and I was shopping and all of that, and you know, you've got these guys that take your trolleys to the car with your groceries, and I always like my groceries in the right-hand side and the back side of the car. Because if I drive into the garage, I can't open my boot. Anyway, so as he was putting the, this has just all just happened spontaneously. As he was placing my groceries in the back of the car, I thought to myself, I know in my boot I have this good news newspaper. It has all these testimonies of what God's done in people's lives. Anyway, so as he closed the door, it just suddenly came to my mind and I said, have I given you one of these before? Because I can't remember who I've given them to. Anyway, so he said no, and I took it out, and I was just sharing what it was about. And then I also remembered, I don't remember that guy's name, the missionary that was here from, he was going to Ethiopia. Benjamin, that's right. And I just remember from his message, he was saying, don't complicate things. If you want to share with people, sometimes you're even shy. Not that I'm shy, but but he said, just ask them if you'd like me to pray for something. So as we were chatting, you know, and as I shared with this guy, he said, yes, I do believe that Jesus is the Son of God. He said, and I do believe you died on the cross for me. And then I was asking him if he wanted anything me to pray for anything. And so he said yes. And then after I prayed for him, he said, now my faith is much stronger. And then I was just returning to the car and I was, yeah, off he went. And I did ask him, what was his home language? That's why I said, your English is so good, so I'm sure you'll be able to understand the good news newspaper because it's in English. And then I asked him what his home language was, and he said Zulu. And then I was thinking, I asked him, do you have a Bible? So he said he only has a New Testament. So I thought, okay, I need to try and find a Bible for you. Maybe I've got a second-hand English one at home, but I actually need a Zulu one. So if anybody has a Zulu one, I'm looking for one. Anyway, and then as I climbed into the car, I just suddenly thought, let me go and scratch in my cubbyhole because I normally have lots of tracks there. But I haven't used them for a while because I ran out of the ones that were kind of popular, like the Corsa or the French at the car guards and that sort of thing. But anyway, so I found quite a few pages. There were about 5 or 6 pages in Zulu. And I went through them all, but I can't understand what they say, obviously. But at the back of each tract, it just says what language it's in, and it says what the title of the thing was. Say it was the prodigal son, or, you know, the ugly caterpillar, and Gethsemane, or whatever. Those were the titles. Anyway, and so then I had to go and find him. So I called him, and then he came there. And then as I was giving him each tract, and I came to the last one, I mean, I just turned them over, and I said, this is what the heading is for this one. They said, okay. And I got to the last one, and I read the thing, and it's, I mean, obviously I didn't know what it meant in Zulu, but when I read the English version, I had asked him his name prior to that, and his name, what it sounded like, Elias. So when I got back into the car, I had written his name down in Zulu and what we prayed about just so that I remember, because I'm not getting any younger. But anyway, and so this last tract I gave him, it said, my name is Elias. He was so blown away, as if, like, you know, this was a message straight from heaven for him specifically. And I said, well, this is E. Is this how you spell your name? And he said, yes. And I looked it up the other night, and yeah, Elias is actually Elijah in the Bible. Yeah, and it means God is Yahweh. So, yeah, it's quite beautiful. And then, yeah, I don't know if you want me to leave it there. And then a day later, I met another Zulu. 2 days later, another Zulu person when I was coming, taking this lady at Berks for us to town. So another lady I just picked up randomly on the road because, I mean, they're all just walking down to town after working. And she was also Zulu, and she gave me the CD. She said, I'm also a singer, and listen to my CD. And she whipped out the CD, and I had to put it in the CD player, and we're listening to this thing. I don't know what it meant. Oh, yeah. So there was one song. She said, turn to song number 4. That's me singing. And dancing. And then I said, well, what does that actually mean? And then she said, it's about words, the importance of words, speaking the right words. And I said, oh, yeah, that's like in the Bible where Jesus says life and death are in the power of the tongue. And yeah, and then I was explaining, oh, you mean, you know, to speak positive words, you encourage, and not negative ones that are destructive. So she said, yeah. And then I knew I had those tracts there, you know, in Zulu, so I'm not going to tell all the details, but anyway, I had to whip them out and give them to her as well. And then, and the good news thing as well. Yeah, and then this morning I woke up and I was just thinking about somebody in our group, and an Isidinga came. I just heard the word Isidinga, and when I looked it up, it's also Zulu words. That's about Zulu, and it means the need or necessity. And this person does have specific needs. But also just thinking as we're sitting here, the greatest need is that we search after God with all of our hearts, and then he will provide those needs.
Amen. Thanks, Debbie. That's amazing. Thank you so much. And what just stood out for me was as soon as Debbie started engaging with the word and just positioned the heart and just said, God, you know, I don't know where the other side is. I don't know where I need to be going, but she just engaged with a word. She said yes to going. The Lord filled in the details for her. The Lord took care of the smaller details, and I found that is so important. As we say yes to the bigger purpose, God comes and he makes it easier for us to obey in the smaller moments. So I actually just feel to say to some of us that, you know, there are quite a few of us that are desperately waiting for a prophetic word, waiting for a spirit word to come to us, but we need to be obedient to the written word. And so God says, go and make disciples. And God is just calling us as a congregation, even back to just, are we making disciples? Are we making disciples? And making disciples is not the purpose of the church leaders. We're supposed to be equipping you to help you to make better disciples. And we're trying our best. But if we are failing you in that, then we are going back to the drawing board saying, God, how can we make disciples? So the question to myself is, am I being discipled by someone else? And am I discipling someone else? Am I being discipled? And I think that never stops. I'm constantly looking for other people that I can learn from. constantly looking for other people that get something that is Christ-like, like the prophets Christelle spoke about. Derek Pufford is someone like that in my life now. God has brought into my life. I see such godliness in him, but I see such firmness in him as well. So God, I want that. I want to be as gentle as he is, but as firm as he is as well. Because I know I need to grow in that area. And so I'm bouncing things off him. I'm opening up my heart to him because I need to be discipled in that area. And I'm constantly praying for the people I'm discipling, saying, I need to be engaging with people. Who am I discipling? Because that is what Jesus asked us to go and make disciples. Not just converts, don't just preach, don't just have programs, but make disciples. So my challenge to me is my challenge to you. Are you being discipled and are you discipling someone else? Ask the Holy Spirit. And even if you just engage and just say yes to that, God, I'm saying yes to being discipled and yes to making a disciple. Don't worry, don't break your head about the details again. God will help you with the details. I met a guy called James Pouch. No, not Pouch, that's the wrong way. I remember how they tried me to remember it. James Pouch, like a poached egg. That's what his wife said. All right, James Pouch. All right, and he wrote this book, Holy Grit. And in this, he said something so powerful. He says, if we are not actively engaging ourselves with the Word of God, because remember what brings purpose into our lives. There are a lot of things, our personality testing and our gifting testing and all of those things, spiritual gifts, physical gifts, all of those things are important and they can guide us. But I found that unless the Word of God defines our purpose, all of those things can actually be quite confusing. Someone again the other day asked me, so on the pastoral gift set, what are you? I've long since stopped trying to figure out what I am. I'm just going to be obedient to God. And I'm just going to do what God asked me to do. That's all. If we are not actively engaging ourselves with the Word of God, and this is what he says, engaging ourselves with the Word of God. And engaging with the Word of God doesn't just mean listening to the Word of God. That is not engaging with the Word of God. And it's like me being around Kate. And I hear her voice, and I even think I'm listening to her. I can do this and listen to her. It's like, better now put your phone in your pocket because you're not looking at me. She actually wanted me to be on the couch with her and do with her the thing. And I thought I could just listen. And often that's what we do, by just listening to the Word. But God has called us to, if we're not actively engaging ourselves with the Word of God by doing what it says, then we are like clouds that don't rain. That just blew me away. We are like clouds that don't rain. It looks like we have rain. It looks like we're going to answer the prayers of the desperate people. It looks like we look like we have it. But we're not obedient to the Word, and therefore we are like clouds without rain. That just hit me like boom. We hold out the promise of something refreshing, but when it comes time to deliver the goods, we are empty, leaving us incapable of quenching the thirst of people who need the water of life. That was a massive challenge to me. Like, am I obedient to the Word of God? Am I obedient to what God has spoken into my life? And each one of us, we know the voice of God. Are we obedient? And don't make somebody else's obedience your obedience. You know, the things that God has spoken to you about. Are you obedient? Are you following through on that? And here's the beautiful promise from God. It says, if anyone believes in me, rivers of living water will flow out of that person's heart, as the scripture says. And I'm just coming back to God and just engagement with God. The last 2 weeks or so, I've sort of come to the end of how far Heinrich can go. And I'm like, Jesus, you've called me to do certain things. I need to be obedient to you. Maar effect weet ek kan dit doen in my eie krag nie. I need to be reconnected to the living waters. The fat knows I can't do it in my own strength, right? For those of you who don't understand. Heaven knows I can't do it in my own strength. I need to be engaging with the Holy Spirit. And I need to trust the Holy Spirit to help me to be obedient to God. To be obedient to God. And I believe that the Lord is wanting to release over us an anointing to be obedient to him. Not out of grudgery, not out of obligation, but joyful obedience as disciples. Their obedience simply flowed out of them saying, I want to be with Christ. I want to be with Jesus. Jesus, wherever you're going, I'm going to be there. And out of that flowed their obedience. And so for me, a simple way that I'm trying to just remember this is that I believe that there's a knock on the door of our hearts and we say, knock, knock, who's there? We would hear, Bigodo. Bigodo. Bigodo is here. I think it's the season of Bigodo. Turn to one another and say, it's time for Bigodo. It is time for be Godo. I know you hate that, love you. Be Godo. It's time to be with Jesus. It's time to go with Jesus. And it is time to do with Jesus. Be Godo. Right? Hashtag be Godo. It is time. Our purpose is to be with Jesus. Our purpose is to go with Jesus. And our purpose is to do with Jesus. Now, be Godo struck me a little bit. Because at the end, I realized very often we find with being with Jesus, we find with going with Jesus, but often we would say we would be doing for Jesus. And God didn't call us to do things for Him. He's called us to do things with Him. With Him. Jesus said, let us go across the other side. Let us go. Not just go. I'll bless you from a distance. Be Godo. Time to be with Jesus, it's time to go with Jesus, and it's time to do with Jesus. So everything in my life, I'm distilling to those three questions. Am I with Jesus? Am I going when He's going? And am I doing what He's calling me to do with Him? And I believe that purpose for us, and I want to encourage you to go home and wrestle with God about your purpose. Wrestle with Him. A fundamental overarching purpose is to be with Christ. You know, and again, we can be with someone and from one perspective, oh, I'm spending so much time with that person, but am I engaging with that person? Am I engaging with the Word of God? And from a biblical perspective, how do you know that you have been with Christ? It is when you are obedient to His voice. There's no other biblical test for it. It's not the amount of time that you spend with Him. It is not the how high you jump in the songs, how hard you clap your hands, how much time you spend in church, none of those things. The biblical test for discipleship is fruit. If we truly have been with Christ, truly living waters will flow. Truly there will be fruit. I love also what John Andrews said. He says that very often people believe that they believe something, but it's only what you do that shows what you believe. It's what you do that shows what you believe. And so the Lord has been speaking to my heart and said, forget about being intentional about things. Let's look at the fruit. And then it is not a condemnation, but it's an invitation into more living waters. And so for me, purpose has to manifest into passion. Purpose has to manifest into what I call priority. If I don't have a clear understanding of my purpose is Christ's likeness. My purpose is to be with Jesus. My purpose is to go where Jesus is going. My purpose is to do incredible things with Jesus. Then I will not spend my time right. I will waste my time. I will wake up 5 years, 10 years down the line discovering I've spent a lot of time climbing the ladder, but it's leaning up against the wrong wall. We were at Gerbrand Kotzia's funeral yesterday. He was going to turn 27 on Friday. Gerard and Amanda Kotzia's son in Paul, Shofar Paul. And he passed away due to cancer. And just hearing testimony after testimony after testimony of how that young man lived his life. How his life was filled with so much joy. How right till the very end he didn't lose his faith in God. Right till the very end he kept on believing. He kept on encouraging people. He kept on saying, God will make this work together for my good. How right till the very end there was this joy. And when he passed away in his sleep with a smile on his face. And then I realized again that, hey, for Gerbrand, it was 27 years. I'm 43 years now. I don't know how much more time that I have. I pray lots of time. But I don't know. I don't have control over how much time I have. I have to be intentional. And hearing his mom speak and just encouraging other parents, saying, be intentional about your children. Be intentional about spending time with them. Be intentional about what you input into their lives. Be intentional. You cannot talk about purpose and not have purpose impact your day to day. Cannot talk about purpose and about being a disciple and have discipleship impact how I steward and how I manage my time. And Jesus said one day, or Luke says one day, Jesus got into a boat. And we spoke about this, but you know, there's so many beautiful quotes. This quote from Braveheart stays with me, sort of, just was burned into my spirit many years ago, where he says, what we do in life echoes in eternity. That's Maximus, from Gladiator. Whatever we do in life echoes in eternity. William Wallace in Braveheart said, every man dies, not every man really lives. And we spoke about this yesterday, and I was so challenged by what a friend said. He says that this young boy, 27 years old, had lived more than many people who were 85 years old. that life isn't measured by the amount of days, but it's measured by the quality of the days. It's measured by the quality of the days. It's not about how long you live, but it's what you do with the days that have been given to you. Every man has to come to that place. Every woman has to come to that place. What we do in life echoes in eternity. And seeing just a number of people giving their life to the Lord yesterday at his funeral was like, that is what Gerbrand would have wanted. He wanted an altar call to be made at his funeral. He wanted the people who come, because his mom shared the story. He was 3 years old when he packed his bag, and she thought he was going to wanting to stay with other people. But in actual fact, he was wanting to give everything away. That was the kind of boy that he was. And so at his funeral, they asked all of the people that were coming to bring something along that they would put in the foyer and they would be given to poor people, because that is the way the Gerbrand lived his life. A full life, a life filled with purpose. And so this is the challenge and the reality. And I don't believe it's something more, but the reality of the gospel is this. We've got a certain amount of time on earth, and then we've got eternity. And what we do here on earth echoes into eternity. It echoes the decisions we make here depends on not just where we will spend eternity in heaven or hell, but even how we will spend it there. The kinds of rewards that we will get in heaven. The Bible speaks about that quite often. But also that once I'm gone, people will be left behind. And I would have impacted their life for better or for worse. And God is just driving this thing home into my heart. There's an urgency for us to be deliberate. Matthew Henry, a great biblical commentator, said it ought to be the business of every day to prepare for our last day. It ought to be the business of every day to prepare for our last day. We have got to be eternally minded. We've got to be focused on what are the things that are really important. What are the things that will really make a difference? If this is my last moment with my wife, my last moment with my kids, what am I leaving behind? This is my last moment with you, and I'm determined how I'm going to preach my heart out at you, to you, every Sunday, because I'm not guaranteed that I'll be doing this again next week. I've got this one moment to do what God has called me to do, and I want to make sure I'm obedient to that in everything that I live. When my folks shared this with me many, many years ago, I was still a small boy, I remember I was just like, I'm not going to go to bed angry. I don't want to be my last moment to be that I was angry with someone. I want to make sure that I sort things out. Brad Bridges said, when it comes to physical, spiritual, emotional, or relational health, it will always cost you more if you don't start now. I think sometimes there's a spirit of religion that gets us so comfortable that we keep on postponing our obedience. Keep on postponing to the next breakthrough, if this thing is better and that thing is better. And God is saying, now, today. What do you know God has called you to do? And if it's just like we heard this morning, invitation to worship him, I've determined I'm not going to allow anybody or anything to determine my worship of God. I'm not going to allow the sound. I'm not going to allow the volume. I'm not going to allow the kind of music to determine how passionately I'm going to worship Christ. I'm not going to abdicate my worship of God to anything, to anyone. I'm a worshiper. And I'm going to be intentional. And I'm going to be focused about that. Moses said in Psalm 90 verse 12, teach us to number our days. And we spoke about this. Teach us to number our days. In Ecclesiastes 3 verse 11, it says, God has made everything beautiful in his own time. And so I left this thought with you, and I'm wanting to just, I feel such an urgency to highlight it again. The way that we spend our days determine how much we'll receive from our seasons. The chronos speaks about the day, the chronological time. The kairos speaks about the season. Ecclesiastes speaks about God has made everything beautiful for its time, for its season. There are seasons in our lives. There are seasons, and the season we are in as a church is a season of Holy Spirit-empowered grace and us going and making disciples. It's a season that we're in as believers. God has given us his Spirit so we can make disciples of people and turn them to Christ. Not disciples of us, but disciples of Christ. How we spend our days determine the times and the seasons of revelation and impact. Hashtag big doors, hashtag small hinges. Big doors swing and revolve on small hinges. The big moment that the disciples encounter where they see Christ, the one that calms the storm, the one that changes their perspective, that big moment hinged upon the small step of obedience, I'm going to be with Christ. Small step. I'm going to be with Christ. And yet it opened the door to a massive revelation. And on the one hand, on the Chronos day, the normal average day, a day not unlike previous days, many people before that time had sailed upon that lake. Many people after that time would sail upon that lake. And on the one hand, you had these 12 frightened men on this boat going to the other side. Normal Kronos day, a normal day. But in the Kairos season, the kingdom of darkness was about to be invaded by the kingdom of heaven. In the Kairos moment, the torment of men's souls was about to be confronted by the liberator of men's souls. In the Kairos moment, the one that kept broken hearts captive was about to be confronted and overpowered, overwhelmed. We had the word overwhelmed by the healer of broken hearts. That was the Kairos moment. In the Kronos moment, just normal guys getting into a normal boat, sailing on a normal lake, going over to a normal place, but yet there was a Kairos moment. There was something supernatural happening, and unless they were faithful with the Kronos, you understand what I'm saying to you? Unless they were faithful in the Kronos, they would have missed the Kairos. They would have missed the confrontation. They would have missed the victory. They would have missed the revelation. So how faithful are we in the little things? How faithful are we with the normal average days when the angels don't sing, the goosebumps aren't there, and we are doing life? I'm astounded by how many people in this day and age are experiencing crisis of faith because suddenly church isn't exciting anymore. Suddenly the music isn't as wonderful anymore as what it was 10 years ago, and people are in crisis because they've lived their relationship with God via the band, via the atmosphere, via the stage, via the programs. They've lived in this great Kairos obsession. I want the big moment. And I live from big moment to big moment to big moment. And God says, it is in the little things. It is in holding your baby and singing in the spirit. It is in driving in your car and praying for those around you. It is in washing the dishes and saying, Christ, I glorify you. It's as you're at work and you're praying for the boss and you're laying hands on the desk and there's nobody else to see it. It's in those little things that we position ourselves. The Lord told me a couple of months ago, he said, Heinrich, it's going to rain. It's going to rain. The question is just, are you going to have a tank big enough for the rain? You can't manufacture the rain, but you can position yourself to receive everything from the rain that you possibly can. For some people, the rain is just, oh, it's nice. Falls on the roof, it's nice. It's wet, it's fantastic. For some people, the rain floods their little house away. For some people, the rain provides for them for weeks and months. What's the difference? Positioning. And how do we position ourselves? We position ourselves daily. Daily. My appeal, my encouragement would be to us, let's grab hold of the word of God that came to us this morning. To engage, to position ourselves, say to God, I want everything you have for me. I'm not going to allow anything to keep me from receiving from you. The hunger in our hearts, the Bible says, blessed are the hungry and the thirsty. Those that hunger and thirst after righteousness, they will be filled. It's one of the most difficult things to preach to people who are filled. It's one of the easiest things to preach to people who are hungry. How hungry are we? How hungry are we to receive everything from God? And I believe that God is stirring in all of our hearts a yearning for him. It's like, Jesus, we want you. We want to be with you. We want to be obedient to you. You know what the beautiful thing is? Nobody else can determine that for you. Only you can do that. Only you can do that. Big doors, small hinges. What are the small hinges in your life that you need to oil this morning in terms of your positioning in the spirit? What are the little things that you need to bring to God and say, God, I'm trusting you for massive breakthrough in my life. I'm trusting you for awesome things to happen. I can't remember whether I shared it here, but there was a time when I hated my photographs. I hated it. I absolutely hated it. I didn't like photos. I didn't like, you know, as a boy, I came across one that was taken when I was, I think, in standard one or standard two. And why? Because I hated my smile. I hated my poort. I hated it. And so I would take a passer and I would scratch it out. Until one day I realized that, you know what? I'm going to be the best poort smiler ever in the kingdom of God. Ever. I'm going to smile myself out of my inferiority with my poort. And I smiled in faith and I smiled in faith and I practiced and I smiled and I smiled and I smiled and I smiled and says, Jesus, I'm doing this for you. I'm not going to allow the devil to define me. because that thing that so intimidated me has now become part of something that blesses people. Why? Because I said, Jesus, you have created me for a purpose. You have created me for a purpose. And there are some of you that you've got to do some stuff in faith. I used to preach in my room. I used to lay hands on the pillow. I used to lay hands on anything that I can, a little cat called Simba. I would lay hands on that cat and I would preach at it. And I remember I would go to the pastors and I said, many years ago, I just want to come to intercession. It's all the pastors gathering. For a year, I wouldn't pray. I was too intimidated to pray around them. So they would discern how off my prayers were. So I just prayed in the spirit for a year, didn't pray anything. I wanted to position myself. I've got mentors in my life. I'm saying, I want what you have. I'm going to Skype with you. I'm going to make time with you. I'm going to fight with you, Corné Becker, because I want your wisdom. I want time from you. I'm hungry. I want to have everything God wants to do in my life and through my life. And I'm trusting God that He would stir in our hearts a hunger for God's best, for our purpose. Let's stand. I'm trusting God to redeem our time. I'm trusting God to put an urgency in our hearts to embrace this call upon our lives. Let's close our eyes. Father, I thank you, Lord, that for the purposes, Lord God, resting in this room, God, those that you have called and that you have equipped, Father, to make a difference, Lord. Those that you have called, Father, to live not just for themselves, but to live for those around them too. And we want to bring to you, Lord, the oil that we have. We thank you, Lord, for the spirit of multiplication. If I could ask the ushers to start handing out the communion elements for us. Thank you, Lord, for the spirit of multiplication, Lord God, that rests upon us, that you are so much more than the sum total of our experiences, the sum total, Lord God, of the words that people have spoken over us. You've got a purpose for us, Lord, and that purpose is wrapped up in being with you. That purpose, Lord God, is even in being intentional and deliberate in running to you and embracing what you have for us. I thank you, Lord, that you come to bring about a mighty deliverance, Lord, to set our feet free. Lord, that we would be like the disciples, completely, utterly obsessed with this one passion, that we want to be with Jesus. Wherever He goes, we want to go. We want to do with Him what we see Him doing. God, I pray for a spirit of such amazing, joyful obedience upon our lives. Father, thank you for the joy of responding to you. The joy, Lord, of feeling living waters inside of us that's more than our circumstances, God. It's more than the lies of the enemy. And Lord, as we're in your presence this morning, I know that there are people here that feel like clouds just blown about by the wind. It feel tossed to and fro by their emotions or by the opinions of people, God, or by their fears. But Father, I want to release over us this morning a knowledge of your purpose. A knowledge, God, that you have called us to yourself. I pray, Lord God, against that spirit of confusion that we want to get us confused about what our place is, Lord. And I pray, Lord God, that as we go to our rooms, as we go, Lord God, into the boardroom, and as we go, Lord God, back to our homes and back to our classrooms, that, Father, we would be able just to see you, see you move around us, to see you lead us. They would meet up with the Eliases, Lord, those who are just waiting to hear the gospel in their own tongue. That we would meet up with them, Father, that we would go. And this morning, Jesus, we thank you that you became flesh, that you bled and that you died for us, Lord. And that your purpose was to lay down your life so we can be reconciled to you. We honor you, Lord. It's before we partake of the communion, if you are here this morning and your life hasn't been invaded by the love of God, you haven't surrendered to that purpose to be with Christ. And as I said, there's a bigger place than just earth. It's a bigger time than just earth. And God has called us to be with Him, not just in worship here for a couple of minutes, but He has called us to be with Him for all of eternity. But there is an enemy of our soul called the devil who want to keep us away from Him. But Christ has come to die for us so that we can be with Him forever and ever and ever. And if you are here this morning and you don't know that you will be with Christ, you don't know that if your moment comes like it did for Gerbrand, that you will be with Him. And we want to give you an opportunity. I want to ask you that you would just raise your hand there where you're standing. If you don't know that you know that you know that you are Christ and you belong to Him and He has washed you and cleansed you from all of your sin, that you are righteous, you're His son, you're His daughter. If you don't know that, then just want to raise your hand because we would love to pray with you. The first step of discipleship starts with that surrender. You say, Jesus, I cannot save my life. I cannot fix my life. Lord, I surrender that to you. Is there anybody like that? The Lord brought you here this morning. You want to make right with God. Anybody this morning? And I believe that we are speaking to believers in this place. And I believe that there's an urgency, saints. An urgency in the heart of God. For us this day, this Kairos season of our lives. To bring all the complexities of our lives between dropping off the kids and figuring out a whole bunch of things, how to make the budget meet, or figuring out who you are and, you know, why are certain things not happening, to surrender all of that to the purpose of being with Christ, being transformed by Him into His image. And that we need to bring our days to the Lord, surrender them. Surrender them to God and say, God, I want my day to be a small hinge. I want to position myself. Some of you, you have abdicated your passion for Jesus, the living waters. You've abdicated that to people around you, to circumstances. And I believe God just wants to come and bless you, set you free this morning once again to drink deeply from Him, to drink and to drink deeply from Him, to receive the revelation of purpose in your life. I so feel in my heart. Some of you this morning, you just need to say, God, I invite you into my days. Just there where you stand, just want to raise your hands to the Lord if that is you. Just, God, I want to invite you into my days for you to move with me, to go with me. And then there's some of you, the Lord is saying, put your phone in your pocket. Put your phone in your pocket. Put the distractions away. Put the distractions away because I want to show you some stuff. And He's going to give you the grace to make the changes, to put up the barriers, put up the walls, to say the no. So you can have your me time with Him. If you know the Lord is speaking to you, just raise your hand. I want to pray. Pray for you. God, I thank you for the hearts, Lord, responding in this place. But God, I thank you, Lord, for deep calling out unto deep. The sound of mighty waterfalls, Lord, that comes from your voice and speaks to our voice and to our heart and to our spirit. And I thank you for the spirit of resurrection. There are tremors in the spirit. There are tremors in some of your hearts that where stones have been rolled over your heart, stones of busyness, stones even of just disillusionment. Where you're like, is this what my life amounts to? Is this what everything has been building up to? Feels so insignificant. It feels so mundane, but there are tremors in the spirit. There are deep things there residing inside of you, things put inside of you by the very breath and by the very hand of God. You are more than the flesh and bone that you occupy. You are more than your age. You are more than your skin color. You are more than your bank balance. You are more than your experiences. There's something supernatural. Ecclesiastes says that eternity has been put in your heart. Eternity. God, I thank you that you remove the lid, you remove the stone, Lord. I speak resurrection, an emptying of the tomb, the dreams that you've put inside of us, God, the purpose to engage, to make disciples. There's someone here, you're not that old, but the Lord says you're a mom and He's called you to disciple others. He's called you to disciple others. He's called you to be deliberate and sharing what you know. You feel like you don't know much. You feel like you're barely holding on, but God is saying He has placed the calling of discipleship upon you to disciple others. Someone here with an incredible gift of hospitality and it comes naturally to you, but God is saying He's wanting you to impart that deliberately and focusedly. someone here with a tremendous gift of entrepreneurial skill, but it's not the skill so much as it is the vision. You see things. And it comes so naturally to you. And the Lord is saying to you, He's wanting you to impart that. He's wanting you to be deliberate. 3 or 4 young men in the next 4 months, deliberately impart that. Just impart that. Just impart that. Release that. And there's someone here in your marriage, you're going through a tough time, but the Lord has shown you just a couple to just at whose feet you can sit. And He's saying, just be obedient. Put your pride in your pocket. In your case, it's not your phone, it's your pride. Put your pride in your pocket and go and sit at their feet. Lord, I thank You for the grace to be obedient, God. For the joy of obedience, Lord, in You, Father. Thank You for Your body that was broken for us. We celebrate Your death and Your resurrection this morning, God. We thank You for the blood that flowed for our lives. Lord, and we thank You that as we eat together, we can eat to wholeness. Every broken part of our beings we bring to You, God. We thank You that You are more than enough for us. In Jesus' name, let's eat together. Thank You, Jesus. We thank You, Lord, for the blood that washes us and cleanses us, makes us whiter than snow, declares us righteous, Lord. We thank You, God, that we don't work to gain Your approval, Lord God, but our obedience flows out of the joy of having encountered such love, such limitless love, such unconditional love, that it inspires us and it empowers us. And no matter what the storm, You will get us to the other side. You will get us to the other side. We put our confidence and our hope in the shed blood of Jesus Christ for this church family, God, for us individuals, for there where we work, there where we live. In Jesus' name, let's sing together. If you've got a physical ailment in your body, if there's something in your body broken, something in relationships taking strain, I want to invite you, let us pray for you. If the Lord has stirred something in your heart, and maybe you just have a dream that you need to verbalize, a purpose you need to say to God, God, I've walked away from this, I desire to be realigned. Bring that to the Lord this morning. Let us pray for you. Other than that, the Lord bless you. Have an amazing Sunday. Please do hang around. Thank you for your patience. Parents, remember to fetch your kids. May the Lord bless you greatly. Thank you for joining us this morning. Have an incredible week. Remember, deadline for registration for the Puffets. It's tomorrow. Please register. Put your name at the information table. Send us an email. Check out your emails. All the announcements are there. And we trust to see you there. Bless you.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.